Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier podcast of LRMonline.com. My name is Nick, and today I'm joined by Tanya. How are you, Tanya?
Hello.
Hello.
If you're listening to the show as soon as it's posted, today is Monday. You're welcome.
There you are. Now you know what day of the week it is. What day are we recording is so I know when to post. I'm just kidding.
Today is, well, in case you don't know, today is Sunday.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I'll check the, post I checked the calendar and everything since time has no meaning.
Yeah. Especially since like I've been off for work because of my back. And
that stinks.
It's just, yeah, long days of nothing.
You prostrate right now? Like, are you recording like flat on the ground with the microphone on your face?
No, it's getting better. I got cortisone shots.
But they do like a pain thing or what is that?
Yeah, three shots in the back, three pain shots.
Good Lord. It sounds.
Oh, we'll see.
Well, best wishes. Get well soon.
Thank you. All right. So this week, we're picking up several things from last week. I guess let's start with last week. I watched most of Tales from the Loop, and Tanya just watched the first episode and wasn't super thrilled about it. So let's continue our discussion about that. Tanya, how far did you make it? What did you think?
I watched the second episode and the third episode, and I didn't really walk away from it saying I'm never going to watch it again, but then I started thinking about the third episode, and then it just, I got really turned off, and the more I went down this rabbit hole of thinking too hard about it, I was just like, I'm not picking that back up again. But I did enjoy the second episode, like, quite a bit.
Is that the body swapping?
Yeah, just because yeah. I liked, I mean, you could kind of see where it was going, but I just liked the way it had me thinking, like, wow. Yeah, we can get into the details, but did you talk about
the body swap episode? I gave you this vague sweeps of several of the episodes, because remember I warned you about the time stopping one, which I think is the third one.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone did that. What?
What was your warning about it? Because yeah, the Twilight Zone did it, but
I just gave you I just told you what they're kind of about, and the third one you're like, oh, Twilight Zone did that. You're like, that's a bad sign.
I mean, you know what? They did it in a way that I wasn't even thinking about Twilight Zone while I was watching the episode. I mean, once I saw, oh yeah, it's about that, I remember. But they took it in a direction that creeped me out in a completely different way. I wasn't expecting to be creeped out. But we'll get to that one in a second. But as far as the body swap episode, I like how they set it up. Like I like how they set up this friendship with the one kid who was kind of timid and the other kid who was very, you know, just had the stronger personality. And I kind of had this. We're doing spoilers, right, Isaac?
Yeah, spoilers for Tales from the Loop from Amazon. If you haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it.
I suspected that kid was going to, like, not want to go back. And he was going to give him some kind of problem. And it wasn't because that kid's life was so great. It was because the kid who didn't want to move back makes terrible life choices. And what did he think was going to happen? Like, just because you're in this dude's body, you're still you. Like, how long was it going to take you to fuck that kid's life up as much as you fucked up your own? So, just the fact that it gave me enough that moral ambiguity and just people not doing things that are so terrible they're implausible, but doing, like, I could see somebody doing it. Like, I could see a person who doesn't plan well thinking this is a good idea. And so the other kid who's just really timid and desperate, going back into the cave, and I'm thinking like, oh, the machine or whatever, like, oh yeah, his consciousness is just floating around. Was the implication that he was in that robot?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a nightmare ending. I feel like I would have felt better if they, I mean, I guess that's the point, like, good, I walked away just like, oh my God, that's the worst thing I could possibly think of. Like, I think it would have been better for that kid to just have his consciousness evaporate than be, like, stuck forever in something that doesn't feel, that can't really die, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just something about just being locked in a robot. It sounds like a kid grows up. Yeah, or just, you
it's
know,
like a talking robot.
Right. It sounds like a human being locked in a basement with no light. Like, that's what it seems like. That's the equivalent to me. Like, that's not how we were designed to be. So it gave me so much, so many things to chew on that I really enjoyed that one. So, yes, I'm glad you convinced me to stick with it.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, too. Obviously, if people listened to last week's, kind of the main family the show is based around is Rebecca Hall's family. And her husband is like John Schneider or something from Parks and Rec. And he has a robot arm. So this episode's about their oldest brother and the oldest brother's friend, but wasn't really featured much in the first episode.
Yeah, he was just sitting at a table when the girl came, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then his friend who we meet, and I'll say it now just so people know, or if you're not probably gonna watch the rest of it, but not to spoil stuff. But the next episode we're about to talk about that Tanya has seen is featured around a girl that he has a crush on in this episode.
Yeah, and they imply that they're dating, right? That they're following.
Yeah, by that point they're dating with what's his face in Jacob's body, the more suave kid.
Yeah.
But and then like the fourth episode is actually about the suave kid's parents because I think he's dead obviously after this episode. And actually the final episode is about his younger brother finding him in the robot body. So it all does kind of loop around.
Get back out of the body? Oh no, because they broke the machine, right? Yes, you can. I can tell.
No. The other body dies in the robot body dies in combat against another robot.
Oh, now she's telling me. Are you making fun of me? Like, no, is that what happened?
That is what happened.
I couldn't tell if you were saying, no, I'm not going to tell you. And then you just came up with something goofy, like it turns into Rock'em Sock'em and he dies.
It's not that goofy, but sort of. It sounds goofy.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, all right. I'll stop at 3. You know what? I am curious about how that kid's parents moved on. So I might end up watching the fourth one just to see what happens.
Fourth one's really cool. Yeah. It's about the kid who they think is in a coma or whatever. Yeah, his parents. His dad trying to prevent it from happening again. Protecting his daughter. That's what that one's. That's the fourth episode. Anyway, so that was the second one. You dug the second one.
Yes, I did.
And then we watched. And then the third one. Third one, again, we said is about the crush or the girlfriend at that point.
Yeah.
And she also just happens to find something random that causes her life to flip upside down.
Yeah.
Why don't you go into describing it?
So, yeah. So she, it looks like she has, I can't remember what kind of relationship she had with her parents. It seems like her mom is pretty strict and her dad is pretty aloof. Like he seems a lot older than the mom.
Yes.
She likes this other boy who has a physical deformity. Like I think is that a club foot? I think he has a club foot.
Something's up with his foot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so some kind of way they emotionally connect, and she talks about, and she tries to, you know, kind of, I don't want to use the word seduce for the reason that episode made me uncomfortable, but she has like a very innocent, like they try to make out in her bedroom and her mom barges in and if she freaks out. Cause of course your mom walks in on you on top of a boy. That's not anything that, you know, a 16-year-old girl ever wants to happen. And so she gets the machine and the machine stops time and it stops movement. So unless you're wearing some kind of special bracelet. So she got a special bracelet for her. She got a special bracelet for the boy whose name, Danny, is that his name? No, that's not.
Yeah.
Danny. The kid from
Danny was the, yeah.
That was, what was his name? Ethan, that was his name. Ethan and May. And so she gets the special bracelets for her and the guy she likes. And they turn on the machine and they spend a month together, or, you know, like everything else is stopped. But for them, a month passes. And what they do, like they make a point of showing them skipping high school. They left high school, turn on this machine. And the first thing they do is fuck in the middle of the street.
Yes.
And then the rest of the month is them just basically scantily clad and fucking in people's beds and stealing shit. Which, you know, you're a kid. If I had a time stopping machine, I would probably go and steal cake and clothes. That's probably the thing I would do. But I just, something about it just didn't sit well with me. And I couldn't put my finger on why until a few days later. But at one point, so the conflict comes where they're kind of wandering out and poking in people's houses and they try to turn the machine back on. And because they have like a little spat where he's like, oh, are you going to break up with Jordan when we turn the time back on? She's like, yeah, I guess. And she's like, what the fuck? We just spent the entire month like fucking all over the town. And when you turn the time back on, that's it. You're just going to go back to like, you know, body swap dude. And so, you know, they have their little spat. And I think they walk around, or I don't know if the spat came after they tried to walk around to find the machine. But she wanders into the house of the guy who has the parts for her to fix the machine. And she finds her mother naked on top of the guy. And she freaks out.
Her strict mother.
Her very strict mother is getting it on with the young, I guess, sort of attractive fix-it guy. And so she's looking, you know, she's not where she's supposed to be. So it's like, it made made me think of like married couples who find each other on Tinder. Like, are you gonna tell them that you saw him on Tinder? What the fuck are you doing on Tinder? So she's in the house. She's like, my mom. And then shows her mom's boobs. And I'm thinking, like, that would have been enough for me to just run out of the fucking house. Like, I feel you got the point. My mom is naked. She's on a guy. I don't need to sit here and examine my mom's naked body. Like, I feel like I'll be horrified just even putting myself in that situation. I was like, oh my God, how long do you stare at your mom's naked ass? So her and the guy. The guy doesn't know that that's her mom and they fall out. And I'm giving way too much detail about this episode, but there's a reason I'm giving so much detail. They fix it. Everything gets fixed. But why was that episode around 2 16-year-olds fucking all over a town? Why is that a thing that we're okay with now? Like, we've already kind of discussed, I think, as a society, that it is problematic having sexualized cheerleaders. And like young girls who are like 14, 15, 16 doing these sexualized things. I don't think you can sexualize a teenager any more than having that teenager have sex on. And just before you fucking start yelling at me, I'll probably be the first email I get. Yes, I know that the two actors are adults. There's never a situation where you have teenagers who are actually teenagers, and unless you need those teenagers to be childlike. 9 times out of 10, they're like 20. I'm guessing these kids are like 20, 21, 22. But that's not the point, is it? Those scenes were protracted. They went on for a long time. And also, I know from experience, personal experience, that teenagers have sex. Who decided that just because it's a teenager having sex with another teenager, that it's still okay for us to, like, have that depicted on a screen? Like, why? Who decided that that was okay? And I couldn't put together why that made me uncomfortable until I saw this other really ridiculous movie that ended up being really stupid, where they did the exact same thing. It was a kid who was supposed to be 16 years old. And they showed her having, like, not full on, you know, like, naked, but it was, sex was heavily implied. It's like, why is this become, I don't want this to become a thing. It wasn't necessary. Like, it was, I felt like that was gratuitous. And you could have, besides the fact that even with those three episodes that I watched, I still had the same complaint that I had in the first one, is they go on too long. They get to the point way early and the rest is just filler. And in this episode, they filled it with hemophilia jack-off stuff. So, was the premise great? Yup. Was the cinematography good? Yeah. Was the acting? I mean, it feels all of it feels like a soap opera. So I can't say I'm too keen about how the acting is, because everything feels like people don't talk like that. People don't move like that. People don't interact like that. So I think that the tone of it just feels very soap opera. But, I mean, it's still, you know, just, yeah, stop doing that. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I think in the end, I felt a lot the same way about the last episode about this one. It's just, there's lots of filler, kind of like, and actually a lot of episodes there are, where I don't know, we kind of discussed this last week, where is it deeper than I think it is, or is it just trying to be deeper, like, you know, through long shots and, like, the score and, like, long periods of no dialogue and walking or whatever. And I don't know if it's earned it or not. It feels fishy to me. Like it feels artificial. Like every, and I don't know. You don't really learn. I feel like you learn less about the loop going forward than the first episode, where he like shows the heart of it or whatever. And from that point on, you never learn anything new about it. Things just get weirder in every episode.
I don't feel like I know what is this, like a force? Is this a gravitational thing? Is it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is it a machine? Yeah. Did somebody build a machine and the machine exploded? Like I don't know. And for me, I guess I just walk away thinking you probably just didn't catch something because you were distracted by something else. But yeah, I don't feel like I know anything more about the phenomenon.
Cause the main theme seems to be that, or at least the main thing that happens on at least half the episodes is, oh, a kid finds something he's not supposed to know how to use. He uses it and trouble happens. And none of the adults act like there's anything wrong.
Right. If the entire town knows this is going on, the second that the deaf sister walked in, like, why can't you talk to me? She should have been flapping to her fucking mom that something ain't right. Like, something's wrong with him. Because he looks like he doesn't understand what I'm saying. And he's fluent. Which is a weird thing for him to not tell, just ignore her. Really?
Yeah. I don't know what else you'd do in that situation. But...
But he could have told, you're not going to be able to talk to her anyway because she only signs. So when I say ignore her, avoid her completely is maybe the thing he should have said. But then it wouldn't have been a surprise for everybody else. And she even had a look on her face like something's fucky. But I said, like, her face is like something is not right. But it's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense that everybody in this town knows that something's goofy. Do they honestly think if the boy would have gone to his parents and said, we went into this machine that did this thing and now he won't change back? Like, they would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, we all live here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. That's the part that seems like a soap opera. Like, all you had to do was communicate this one thing and problems would have been solved. You've created this problem that shouldn't exist in this time period, which is explaining that something weird happened.
Right. Yeah, and like, so the next episode, just to give giant sweeping things, like I said, is about the dad of Danny.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure he's trying to prove to his wife they protect his family because Danny's still in the coma or whatever, and the girl, there's someone on the property that's bothering the girl. The fifth episode, I think, is about the grandpa and the younger brother, and he brings him to a machine. It's just, it looks like this, you know, it's like the ball. It's a big old hollow item just out in the desert. You yell into it. However many times you echo back determines how long your life is. So it's about the episode about the grandpa dying. And then
I did not echo back.
And I think the second to last episode is actually, it's about a boy who gets abandoned by his friends on an island where a monster lives. And he loses his arm, so you eventually learn that it's the episode about the dad. You just would flash back the whole time, you didn't know it. And then the last episode is about the boy again, like finding out about his brother from Danny and Jacob's body, and like going to find him and stuff.
And he dies in that rock, in that mech suit.
Yeah. And there's time travel business again. It's weird. It's like everyone's working for this company. The grandpa's a weird dude, but no one knows everyone expects what's going on to happen, and yet no one, it's bizarre. I don't know. I guess you don't want to, I guess if you find out exactly what it is, it's even more disappointing. But yeah, I guess it's based on a book. It looks like there are lots of RPGs online based on it too. RPGs.
There's like a Swedish book, isn't it? It wouldn't surprise me one bit if that book is really good. Because I guess like in my brain, I'm not going to be reading it with, there's not going to be pages and pages that are blank. I'm not going to read them with really over dramatic pauses when they talk. It's just going to be matter of fact. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess, well, you know, maybe Swedish writing is a little more subdued, but I can't imagine. Yeah, I think a lot of it is just the way they chose to direct it, which is artificially artsy fart.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I forgot my main problem with the third one. Okay, so if you're stopped for an entire month, all you can eat will do is what? Like eat fruit and pre-made stuff? You can't boil water. Requires time. You can't like watch TV. That requires time. Your hair shouldn't be blowing in the wind like in the final season because there's no episode. I mean, the end of the episode because there's no wind. I know it's hard to do that outside, but there's no wind if nothing's moving.
Maybe they don't get hungry. Do they not get hungry?
Maybe not, but, you know, I guess. You're right. But they're still, like, progressing. I don't know. I guess it's all bullshit anyway.
Oh, it's like that Rick and Morty episode where, like, did the dad still grow a beard when they stopped time? Because they broke time trying to stop it or something. And they still had to, like, clean up after everybody.
I think so. I forgot
you
that.
You remember the episode I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. They freeze at the end of one season, I think, and unfreeze it at the beginning of the next season.
I can't remember if I'm remembering correctly that they had to shave the dad or do something to the dad, or maybe it was just them cleaning up because they made a mess. But like,
I think they at least had to vacuum their clothing.
Yeah. Something moved on in a way that like, yeah. So I don't know. So continuity issues. So I guess, and you know what, for me with goofy sci-fi like that, I would overlook that kind of, what do you call it? Not continuity. Like, hole in the plot. Like, I'm very forgiving if the rest of it makes the point it's trying to make. But I'm not entirely sure what point this show was trying to make. Like, I don't think there's any sort of... Like, I don't... You know, even though I enjoyed all the thinking I had to do during the body swap episode, I don't think they actually set this up as, here's the message we're trying to convey. Like, it's not as, like, what do you call it? Sledgehammer as Black Mirror or Twilight Zone. And I don't think it's doing this thing where we're leaving it up to you. I just don't think they have anything to say.
You might be right. I mean, because, yeah, I guess the very blatant message that's, like, not even, you know, not really a real message past that, just the Black Mirror blatant message is, like, don't fuck with machines.
Yeah.
Well, there's no message past that I see. No. What a weird show, though.
Stop fucking showing 16-year-old girls, you fucking pervert.
All right. We're good on Tales from the Loop.
Yes.
All right. Next, did you have the chance to watch the first episode of HBO's Run?
I did, and I totally forgot about it until you said it just now. Yes, I did.
It's by two creators. One of them is the Fleabag creator, Phoebe Waller-Bridge or something.
Yeah, the woman who walked away with like 48 Emmys.
Yeah.
Fleabag is really good, so she earned every last one of them.
I think she's a co-writer on some blockbuster. Oh, yeah, she's actually a co-writer on No Time to Die. Which will be interesting to have her voice involved with that. I mean, obviously she won't be able to keep the tone of this or Fleabag, but.
I mean, she's probably versatile and talented. I'm not a Bond person. I think I've only seen like two or three Bond movies. So they're not really on my radar. And is it one of the ones that's pushed back indefinitely? Like, was it actually completed? And
it's done.
Shelf? Yeah.
It was supposed to like come out. It would have been out by now, but yeah, it's coming out in November now with Black Widow, as if the world would be fixed, but.
Yeah.
I actually read an article, not to get too much into stuff, saying that theaters likely won't be able to go back to full capacity until there's a cure.
I believe that.
So, like, you'll be sitting in, like 6 feet distancing movie theaters for, like, months, if not a year.
You think they'll let people start bringing outside food?
No, they'll hold on to that till the end.
well, there's a fucking logic behind it. Because then that's less interaction between the people who want concessions. They're just going to, I mean, they could just totally stop concessions, but that would lose them money.
So yeah, they don't make money off the other stuff.
Yeah, if they let people bring in their own stuff, then they don't have to touch it. They don't have to swap money, swap cards, touch keypads. That's a thing.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So Run, if you haven't seen I saw a commercial for it. On HBO, like in front of Westworld and stuff. And then when I actually saw it was out, I was pretty excited. I didn't know when it started. But one of the stars, is that Domhnall Gleeson, I think? The male star?
Yes, it is.
He was originally one of the Weasley twins or something, right? I know he's been in a lot since then, and I've watched a lot of it. Dos Machina.
I don't think he was in, he was in Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina.
I don't remember if he was in Harry Potter. But I don't know
he's Hux, though.
Yeah, he's in Star Wars. So
for some reason, I always assumed that every redhead
is
every famous redhead UK actor his age was in Harry Potter as one of the Weasleys.
Weasleys had a lot of kids, so you know it could
have
been.
Yeah, they did.
It's like naming the Seven Dwarfs.
I don't remember his brother.
Rupert and Domhnall and all these people who were in it. Anyway, I did not watch any commercials. I only had your tweet. Message saying watch Run. Yeah. Okay, I had no idea what I was getting into. I actually like that actress. I've seen her in other stuff, but I don't know. Like she's one of those people that guy. I don't know her name, but I like her when she does things.
I should probably look it up while you're talking, so we don't sound like fools.
Well, that's was way too late for me. I don't. Where is this going? I got the initial.
Creator.
Vicky
Jones is the other creator. Her name is. She's Fiona, right? Probably.
Yeah.
No. I don't think this is her, though. Archie. No, this isn't the right person. I'm looking. She's like not one of the main four listed people. Unless her name is just Babe. No.
Merritt Weaver.
Okay, there you go.
I don't think they have. So the premise of the show is that they were ex-lovers, I guess, from their. When they were in their.
They were 19, it sounded like?
Yeah, late. Early 20s or something, and now they're in their mid 30s or something like that.
Yeah, it's 20 years and later, so 29.
I guess they hadn't spoken in many years. He sends her a text that just says run, and she just literally drops everything, gets on a train, and meets him somewhere. Or
well, she
responds
to too.
What did she say? I don't remember.
She responds this time.
Oh, did he send her that before? I didn't even catch that part.
Yeah, they're talking about how he sent to her a lot of times. And he's like, why'd you answer this time? And she's like, why'd you send it? And he's like, because I was drunk.
I caught that part. So she has a significant other. She has a life and a job, and she just drops everything and goes. And her boyfriend or husband or whoever is freaking out looking for her because she's on a train and she's traveling. So she hasn't been able to actually reliably tell him that she's even going. And so the episode is just basically their interaction. I think it's a there's a suggestion. That they're just so just passionate about each other that they both individually have to go into like the airplane bathroom and jack off just to relieve the tension of each other. And even with this very overt, oh my God, I'm so hot for each other, and they're both attractive people, I just did not sense any chemistry from them at all. Like, I didn't, I just, it just wasn't there to me.
Definitely felt like an untraditional type of meet cute in a way. I mean, they know each other, but it's a very untraditional. I can't tell if they are into each other or not at certain points.
I saw the beginning of a movie that kind of had this premise, and it was again with two people who, like, I like them as individual actors, but they also didn't have chemistry, and their back and forth and smiling at each other was just so, I guess that's, this is just my grinchy ass fucking old cold heart. They're smiling and saying, what? Oh my God, I haven't seen you for, I couldn't even, like, I'm done. I don't know where the fuck you're going with this, but I'm over it. And the reason, so it was, who's the woman? Shit. She's so famous. She was a chick from Serenity and American Horror Story, and she died in Bird Box. She's really famous. Know. Yes, you do. Oh my God.
Well, I haven't seen Bird Box or American Crime Story. What was the first one?
Then I know you're not going to remember her for Serenity. Did you see Serenity?
I know most of the actors in Serenity.
Anyway, the fact of the matter, shit. She's a lesbian? She's like a really famous lesbian?
I don't know off the top of my head.
God damn it. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, I had a point of reference for this, like, middle-aged couple who, you know, like, one person's life is kind of off track and the other person's life is this way, and they're meeting back up to catch up, and then all of a sudden there's a rift because obviously they've changed because 20 years have passed. And it's always like, I want to get into this premise, but it's almost like it's so important for that couple to have some sort of chemistry for me to buy that I can't look at this and be like, why did you ever go out in the first place? Like, I don't even see how you ever got together. And once my brain has that thought, it's just like, I'm kind of, okay, you need to give me something else to grapple onto because I don't believe you as a couple. So I didn't see the trailer and I don't know where this is going, I'm still going to watch it just because I'm curious. But if this turns out to be like some kind of romantic comedy, I'm going to punch you in the mouth because I don't watch romantic comedies.
They're calling it comedy romance thriller. IMDb, and the trailer is just for the first episode, so I have no idea where it's going either. So I guess I'll keep watching. Sarah Paulson. I didn't know she was in Serenity. Sarah Paulson,
right? She was the doctor on that got eaten by the Reaver.
Oh, yeah, because I know Sarah Paulson. Second. She's great. I didn't know she was a lesbian. Awesome. Not that it matters.
No, it's, you know, it's an interesting thing to, you know, just.
She's like so good.
She's great in everything.
And like Glass, American Crime Story. Oh my God.
Yeah. She was Marsha Clark in American
Horror
Story. Yeah, she was in American Horror Story.
I've seen American Crime Story. She's so good as Patricia Clark. It's uncanny.
So she was in this movie. Have you seen Creep in Creep 2?
Which one's Creep?
Creep. Is that
the one where he's videotaping?
Yes.
He hires a guy to videotape him all day for his son? Oh, yes, I've seen the first one. It's fucked up.
I had a dream about Tubby Time. Yes, that movie. Okay, so that
The bathtub scene. Go watch Creep, everyone.
Mark Duplass. Or I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Mark Duplass. I love Creep. I love Creep too. He's such a socially awkward whatever. So it's basically like the beginning of Run, where he and Sarah Paulson run into each other, and I'm like, she's American Horror Story, and he's creepy guy. I can't see, one, I can't see her being with a dude, and I can't see him being with a human. So I'm just not, like.
It's funny you say that, because my first exposure to him was on The League. Remember The League? Or even heard of it? That show that used to be on Next to Sunny?
I heard of it.
Oh, it's like, basically it's like is that. Sunny, only it's all based around their football or fantasy football league. And he's like, it's closer to Sunny or something. There's not like any looking at the camera type stuff. It's just or Workaholics, which is a show about bros being bros and like the one token female in that group.
Lord.
But like, I don't know. He's so much different than that. What?
Is he a suave, attractive guy in League?
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of he's the one who thinks he's so attractive. He's like the Bill Murray of the group, almost. Mm. Like, he lets himself be weird and shit because he's like, hey, and he's recently divorced in the first episode. So, yeah, he's always trying to pick up chicks, and he's the attractive one. And he picks up chicks that... You know, Paul Scheer's character can't, because Paul Scheer has the goofy teeth and stuff, and is bald.
Okay, so this is my question. Is he like a poonhound, like he's clueless and women think he's gross, or is he like the dude from How I Met Your Mother, where people just, he's such a douche and people don't understand how he gets so many women?
The latter.
Okay.
It's like Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay. I'm gonna be mean and say I think he writes himself that way, and I don't buy it. So I'm sorry. Maybe if I say that's League, I'd find it believable. But you know what? Let's get back to the thing we're supposed to be reviewing, which is Run. Yeah.
Run.
That was right. That was 20 minutes for me to say if I don't believe you as a couple, I can't get into it. So I'm looking forward to the thriller part since you said it's a thriller. So let's see where the thriller part goes, because the romance part is just like, nah.
Yeah, I don't know what the thriller element will be, but yeah, it can't be this for however many episodes. I'm assuming it's a short season. But
so like a mini series, it's like a 3-4 episode kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they got to get off that train sometime.
Someone just looking at IMDb, even Domhnall Gleeson is only listed for 2 episodes. Someone else is listed for 4 episodes. I don't know if that means anything. It's probably incorrect, but it's probably a short season.
What the fuck?
Let me see if I can look at episode count.
Now I'm really curious.
But yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It hasn't actually grabbed me yet, but I don't know where it's headed next, so I'm...
Yeah, it's not... Now, basically, this is the curiosity of, like... Probably because I didn't watch the trailer. Like, I think if I... I don't know. Yeah, I'm just curious at this point.
According to IMDb, there are only 2 episodes up on IMDb so far. Because they're kind of rolling it out slowly. Episode 2 is called Kiss. Episode 1 was called Run. So, maybe they'll kiss. Episode 3 is Run Harder. No, it's not up there.
Run with a vengeance. Run harder with a vengeance.
That's all I need to do is copy Die Hard. And like Flynn. All right. I guess all we have left is our segment and your review of something that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh my God. Go for it. I don't know if it's just because there's not a lot to it. Because, I mean, you know, I just did a 20-minute fucking rant on something I don't even care about. I don't feel like I have a whole lot to say about Mortal Kombat Legends, Scorpion's Revenge. Which is the animated Mortal Kombat film that was released on digital, I want to say, last week. It is based around Scorpion's canonical plotline, which is that Sub-Zero, Bi-Han Sub-Zero, and his clan killed his family, his clan, his wife. He actually killed his child in front of him. I don't know if that's canonical, but it was definitely interesting to see. And Scorpion, or I guess Hanzo Hisashi's, transition into who we know as Scorpion, the fire-breathing revenant with the awesome rope spear and the catchphrase that everybody knows, even if you don't play Mortal Kombat, which is, get over here, which they actually say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it. You got to do it. They also, so the overarching basis of Mortal Kombat is that there are these different realms of Earth Realm, Chaos Realm, Nether Realm, Edenia, all these places. And, there are these tournaments that happen, and the realm that wins these martial arts tournaments gets the right to either take over or live safely or whatever. And there are some evil people who are in charge of the tournament who try to rig the tournament every year. That's the backstory. And so Raiden, who is a thunder god, recruits people on Earth to fight. And that's where Johnny Cage comes in. That's where Sonya comes in. That's where Liu Kang comes in. I think Jax was in there for like 3 seconds, just enough to get his arms ripped off and be like the fucking damsel in distress, which I didn't care for that at all. So it gives the series, or the animated movie, gives like the kind of fundamental canonical basis of the film, but it tweaks here and there. As far as, I don't think Goro was the person who took Jax's arms. I don't remember. I think Scorpion came back and his whole clan was dead. So basically the things that they add were things that kind of make it a theatrical thing to watch. There wasn't anything that they just totally twisted the story into a way that didn't make sense. So that I appreciated. And also in that sense, I think the movie was pretty safe. Like, I'm glad they didn't take too many risks. But then in not taking too many risks, I can't see anybody who isn't already a Mortal Kombat fan being interested in this. I saw one review that said that there was too much fan service. I don't really understand how fan service can be defined in a movie based on a video game. Is his saying get over here fan service? Is Liu Kang doing his bicycle kick fan service? Or is it just that's part of the goddamn
Sounds
character?
Essential.
Yes. I personally when there's a nod, yeah, I go, I remember that. So yeah, it is kind of a cheesy feeling. Like Johnny Cage fought somebody and the building blew up and he went toasty, and so I was like, oh my god, I remember toasty. So yeah, it is, you do get this kind of cheesy, corny feeling, but I still feel like it's part of the game. It's part of the original game. I would say Scorpion's, and you know, just kind of just almost how this unfolded and how people see the game. Scorpion's plotline was the strongest. Scorpion and Sub-Zero were the most interesting interactions. I didn't care too much for Johnny Cage's voice actor. It was actually Joel McHale. I like Joel McHale. I think Joel, I think I sent
that to you a long time ago. I could see it.
And I was very kind of like, about it. I like Joel McHale. I think he's funny, but I actually just preferred the voice actor who they've had for the last two games. And he is, I can never remember his name. And you asked me for it before, but he's an actor from Mad TV. He's a comedian from Mad TV. Hmm. And there's something about Johnny Cage. Yeah, he's jokey, but he's also a kind of a, not just a douchebag. He's a macho guy. So he's not just like a Joel McHale kind of Weasley comedian. He's also like a fighter. So there's this kind of douchey bro kind of aspect about him that I think the game kind of captures. They can't get, Sonya. Okay, so Sonya's voice actress right now on Mortal Kombat 11 is Ronda Rousey. And everybody hates it. She's not a great voice actress. I think people forget that there's the acting part of voice acting. It's not enough that you have a kick-ass, I can beat your ass woman voice. You also have to know how to act. And so the voice actress for the film is Jennifer Carpenter, who played Deb in Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter's sister.
Again, she's great. I like her as an actress. But the lines, the dialogue they gave Sonya, it's almost like they just decided that every military person is basically like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers from Predator. I don't got time to bleed. Like everything, all of her lines are just very stupid. It's like, oh, just the dialogue is just so terrible. So her storyline was absolutely my least favorite. I already had a list of voice actresses who I think would be great for Sonya, but that's kind of neither here nor there. What else was my huge thing? So I guess like I can't see for the hardcore Mortal Kombat fan, you're gonna watch this whether I tell you to watch it or not. And I would say grading on that, with that in mind, I would say as a film it's a B-. The weak parts were kind of cringy, but the good parts were very engaging. Like I got very lost in, you know, like Scorpion's storyline and his resolution and the fact that underneath this fire breathing revenant was a person who's just wounded because his child and wife were killed, you know. So I thought they made him a sympathetic character while also letting him kick ass. It's appropriately gratuitous. There is crunchy bone blood violence. That's all there. There's all the extra violence that you want from a Mortal Kombat series. They did not go light on that. Oh, how did I forget? They do x-rays. And they're also not gratuitous. They don't overdo it. But every once in a while, somebody will get punched in the face. Or somebody will get stabbed in the face. And you see the knife go into the skull. And they just like just this quick x-ray like from the game. And I think, Injustice does that too. And so I thought, oh, what a neat touch. They actually incorporated something from gameplay that didn't look stupid, not in my opinion. So again, I can't say I could recommend this to a person who doesn't already kind of have an interest in it. It might be okay, like if you're kind of just generally into DC or Warner Brothers animation, you might get
into
it. That's
what I was gonna ask. It looks kind of similar, doesn't it? I mean, without obviously being the comic style, it's the same studio, has a similar-ish animation.
Oh, totally. And that's, you know, that is also its saving grace. If you
stuff is good.
Yeah, so if you're a person who you don't know a whole lot, somehow you don't know a whole lot about Mortal Kombat, but you like Batman, you know, like the DC Justice League kind of animated films, and you're not too offended by gross, gratuitous violence, because that's not the kind of violence you will get in a Justice League type movie, I would say check it out. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, definitely check it out. My prediction, my official prediction, is that this is still going to be this is going to be the assault on Arkham to Suicide Squad. I think this is going to be way better than the live action, even though it's still just like a B-minus kind of movie. I still predict that the way they were very deliberate. You can tell that they, even with the shitty dialogue, you can tell that they actually tried. There was effort put behind this. I just don't think that the live action is going to even come close to this. That's just my prediction.
And you heard it here first, people.
Yes, you did.
All right. I obviously haven't seen it. I'm actually not against seeing it. I am against paying $20 or whatever it still costs to see it. So I'm still waiting for my government stimmy money.
Oh my God. Did you have to get a check? Like a paper check?
I don't know. I had to go on the official IRS website today and give them more information.
Cause I was going to say, I thought it was, if it's direct deposit, they got their money already.
Yeah, no, everyone else I know has it. But yeah, I had to go on the website. They had a few more questions. And I was like, okay. And it was the official iOS website. I didn't get scammed, I hope. So I did that right before the show. And they're like, now we can send it to you electronically. And I'm like, thanks. But
no, I don't get one. I got a rock.
Final segment. Breaking bits, right?
I can't remember. What do we fucking call our own? Is it Breaking Pieces?
I don't know. You called it Breaking Bits last week. I don't remember what our name was. So we're going with it.
Bits and Pieces. Breaking Bits and Pieces.
Let's do that. Breaking Bits and Pieces. I like it even better with the extra and.
What are you watching, Nick?
What am I watching? Well, obviously all the stuff we talked about. I'm still digging Westworld. I'll watch it tonight. It's getting fucking insane. Obviously, it's Westworld. It's very different in the last two seasons. I said that last time. I think people should hop back on who fell off during the second season, because the third season is completely different, but you can tell they're like, oh, they did all the legwork in second season. It's almost like an Iron Man 2 or something. Or it's like, oh, they're doing the legwork for a future at season. Now the season's paying off huge. Like, it's the biggest effects. It's like the biggest effects I've seen in a show so far. This is like their action episode. And it's kind of like, without spoiling too much, it's very much like the Under the Hood or whatever episode of Watchmen, you know, where she's like, she's floating through memories or whatever.
Oh, her grandpa? Oh, yeah, that was like the best episode.
Because this episode isn't as deep as that, but Aaron Paul's given a drug called genre, which makes the genre he's living in switch every like 15 minutes or something. So like the action's going down, but like the music and the way the episode shot changes and stuff. Like first he's in like a silent film noir, and then he's like, when he's in a romance, he looks over at Dolores and he can't shoot other people because he's like in love with her.
Ooh, it's kind of goofy.
Yeah, but it's action packed. It's huge, like Dark Knight level action scenes in the middle of futuristic Los Angeles. But yeah, it's cool. And then my roommate and I watched The Gentlemen, which I already reviewed back in February, but that's definitely one to catch now that it's at home. So I'll just do it with those two. And I watched the Tiger King special.
It was
pointless. It was really, really pointless. David Spade did a better job interviewing the same people than Joel McHale did for Netflix. So
is that the one that's on Hulu? Because I thought I saw a Hulu one that's like TMZ.
Oh, no. Something. I watched part of that one, too. No, this was the eighth episode, technically. They call it the eighth installment.
Oh.
And it's just Joel McHale from home interviewing all of them from home. But yeah, I watched part of TMZ one too, and it's like, yeah, everyone's just cashing in. There's not much new to any of these. So,
But you're making me want to check out Westworld. I think it was something about your Iron Man 2 comparison makes me like, okay, yeah, I can sit through something if I know it's a bridge to something else.
Because like ambitious and trying to do its own thing, but at the same time, it's all super important building blocks for where we're at now. And I feel like where we're at now is a way better place than where we're at in season two. All
right.
You definitely can't skip to it, though.
Accept it.
Yeah. And if I'm wrong, and cough on me or whatever, give me credit.
I hope that becomes a felony. But no. No way.
What about yourself? How about yourself?
Oh, my God. So I finished Sopranos, and I still had that moment.
I saw that already. Is that entire series in 2 weeks?
Two or three.
Okay, damn.
Because I think I was like halfway through by the time I recommended it last week.
Oh, okay.
So it's six seasons. The series finale, I don't care how artsy-fartsy you say it was still dissatisfying. I understand what point they were trying to make. It was still dissatisfying, especially like watching all of it in such a condensed manner, and that being the end of all that buildup. It's just, it's just kind of, I'm not going to say it doesn't go down in history as terrible as Game of Thrones, but it's not, because I would still say watch all six seasons and you'll still walk away feeling satisfied that was a good show. Like, I haven't even started Game of Thrones because I know at one point the quality is going to dip so bad, I'm going to feel like I wasted my time. So no, even though that last episode is controversial, it's not a waste of time. So after you finish the series, you have that, what do I do with my life now moment. And so what I found myself doing is just sitting on Twitter, reading things and being miserable. And so I said, you're not going to check Twitter anymore, or you're going to like limit yourself to maybe one check a day. But this is just not OK, because I'm walking away just feeling worse than I already did. And so I remembered that there are these things called books. And so I know I haven't picked up a paper book in months at this point, and I haven't even, like, I still have like 3 Audible credits that are just sitting on my phone. Like, what the fuck have I been doing for the past few months? And so this is going to almost negate the point I just made, but I found a short story collection called Wastelands, Stories of the Apocalypse. And so that's what I've been listening to.
That works. Books work. Or audio.
Pandemics and nukes and aliens. Oh my. So that's what I've been, that's what I'm listening to now. So I've decided, you know, like to just reduce my online glazing over. And whenever I just feel the need to just get down into some like Twitter fucking hole of foolishness, to go open a book.
It's good advice for all of us. If you can find books these days and you haven't already used them for energy.
Like burning them because we
don't. Yeah.
Are we already at that point where we don't have like electricity and gas? Did I miss something? Am I so privileged? I have propane tanks. Y'all are fucked.
You might be.
I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be able to cook my beans. But no, I'm this is gonna be a supplement until I figure out what the next show is I'm gonna watch. And it'll probably be Westworld because now I'm kind of intrigued. But yeah, this isn't me trying to. Oh, I'm gonna be that guy and I'm just gonna stop watching TV. This is me trying to not be on things that, like, no good can come from sitting on Twitter for as long as I was sitting on it. I'm not gonna miss anything from just not looking at the news for right now. So that's what the books are replacing.
Damn straight. You good?
Why are you making fun of me for not wanting to be dumb? Why do I feel like
you're making fun of you?
It sounds like you're being.
No, I thought it was really funny when you rediscovered books.
I did.
Cause I'm that way. I was that way all week. I'm like, should I start a book? No. I'd rather do a puzzle, which I also didn't start. But
you know what? That would even. I have a puzzle. I have like cards. I bought Uno cards because I just, you know, I decided I just want to end my relationship as fast as I can. So I bought like Uno cards and, you know, games to play. So, you know, but yeah, this was just that reflexive checking social media, even because you don't have anything else to do with your fingers. This was just me trying to, like, I'm going to look at audio. I'm going to listen to an audiobook instead of checking Twitter.
Gotcha. Cool. I guess that's our show, ladies and gents. You've been listening to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. You can find me at LRM_Nick on Twitter. And where can the good people find you, Tanya?
Send me recommendations for more apocalypse porn at TANYA at LRMonline.com.
And hopefully you'll get some literal apocalypse porn.
Don't send me dick pics.
No. It's a link to good, like apocalypse porn hub video.
Because you know it exists. There's already corona porn, so you know apocalypse porn exists. Not literal apocalypse.
Love porn. In the time of corona. Porn parody, I'm sure. All right. And with that, we're here every Monday, folks. We got we are Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. We got Los Fanboys on Fridays, LRM Mornings every day, LRM Top 5, Comic Source, Netflix and Chill, a whole bunch of good stuff on the site. Always check out the site. We always appreciate your patronage. And with that, I guess we'll be back next Monday. But hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.